This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Molly Gamble. Molly's the editor-in-chief, vice president of editorial affairs at Becker's Healthcare. She's going to talk to us, and what a wild week in healthcare. She's going to talk to us about a few of the key issues that she's watching closely. Molly, let me tee it up and let you tell us, what are the issues that you're watching closely?
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Scott. So the first is it was the lead story that we ran in yesterday's BHR newsletter. So if readers got that and they're checked it out, this will be a review for them, but otherwise, hopefully a new data set for people to check out on the BHR site. But it pertains to hospital rankings, which we've talked about before, the view that there are a number of rankings and ratings on hospitals available today, some stronger than others, some more credible than others, but no one list really paints the most complete picture of hospitals. The one that probably comes closest is U.S. News and World Report, which has been ranking hospitals since 1990. That is the list that's really widely accepted as credible by hospital administrators, other healthcare professionals. A new data visualizer from Trilliant, it compares a selected benchmark hospital that you would select, and then it shows you how it stacks up to the most highly regarded U.S. hospitals, just to see how different or similar in the lines they are with a score. The quality piece is included in the comparison. There's also financial piece, so the operating margin, the average inpatient service cost, patient mix, market share. They took a lot more operational and financial metrics too to start to kind of compare hospitals in a new way. So we featured this yesterday. It had some interesting findings. For instance, Mayo Clinic, which is the number one hospital as ranked by U.S. News most recently, the most similar hospital to it when looking at a number of other factors, including the margin and patient mix, is Michigan Medicine in Ann Arbor. Cleveland Clinic, the most similar one to Cleveland Clinic is Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville. And then the most similar to Johns Hopkins in Baltimore would be Northwestern Medicine or Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. So I think it's just one more way to look at this data. It was pretty interesting to start to see there were some surprises, I thought, in putting this piece together. But nonetheless, wanted to highlight it for you, Sky, and also for listeners if they wanted to check it out. It's just a different way to look at hospitals and how they line up to one another.
Thank you very much. And we had talked to Sanjoy Jain about that, who had put a lot of this together, chief data officer, I think, data scientist at Trilliant and Brilliant. But fascinating to see. And some of those comparisons you mentioned seem to be spot on, quite frankly, at least anecdotally, what I see and what I hear out there in terms of what you're seeing. So that's fascinating. So that's one. It's sort of just a different way of sort of crunching through this as comparables. And fascinating. Molly, tell us what else you're watching currently.
Yes, Kaufman Hall released a report last week. I'm sure this is not listeners who are at health systems or hospitals, analyzing 2022 and casting it as really the most financially difficult year for hospitals thus far since the pandemic. And related to that, the past few weeks, Scott, it seems like there is just one hospital closure after another. So we have talked about hospital closures in Atlanta. Last week, we covered the news of St. Vincent Charity Medical Center in Cleveland, which will be ending inpatient and emergency room care in November, transitioning to an ambulatory health center. And just today, two more hospital closures actually announced from Crozer Health in Pennsylvania. They are going to be winding down acute care inpatient services at two of its hospitals right outside of Philadelphia. So that will be occurring over the next 60 days for the 168-bed hospital in Drexel Hill that is going to be becoming an inpatient behavioral health center. And then another 25-bed hospital will become an outpatient services center or hub. So it will still have two acute care hospitals, but one more instance of either a health system deciding to transition its acute care inpatient hospitals to other health services that aren't as intensive, we've also covered news of systems shutting down hospitals completely or winding down services. So that just was released and announced by Crozer Health today, so I'll be running our newsletter tomorrow and subsequent days.
No, fascinating. Clearly, the data from Kaufman Hall and what you're seeing across the nation is about the hardest year ever for hospitals and health systems. I saw it just reported today, Ascension Healthcare, one of the big faith-based systems, reported $1.8 billion loss. Those are staggering numbers in terms of losses, and we'll see how they recuperate from that. But staggering challenges, hospital closure, staggering losses, And a place where I think you're going to ultimately need government help to make a lot of this work and stay sustainable, because it, some of these hospitals that have endowments and so forth, those are getting hammered too by the stock market too. So there's no easy answers to make up for it on the capital side. So the two stories so far, new comparative ways of looking at hospitals and the rankings and, you know, what looks like U.S. News and World Report top hospital. And second, just dire financial challenges for hospitals, including hospital closures and this Ascension $1.8 billion loss, which is just a staggering amount. Molly, anything else you want to share with us today?
I've been curious, Scott, and this is like something I'm looking into for an upcoming story, but the public health emergency for COVID-19 and how it relates to hospitals. And it looks like it's going to be renewed. It's set to expire right now, October 14th. And HHS has said that if they were to not renew it again or to end it, they would give state 60 days notice. And so that time period has already come and gone. So it's looking like it will be renewed through early 2023. But it's just interesting because I think you've got a lot of other signals coming from HHS, where they're winding down a lot of the COVID emergency services and efforts. And then I think to still have the PHE in play, it's starting to almost become like a lifeline for health systems and hospitals. And it serves more purposes than that. It's not a hospital specific function, but I think when it comes to telehealth waivers and flexibilities, it's interesting how you see a lot of other efforts from the government being wound down related to COVID-19, but then the PHE still looking like it'll be renewed for the 11th time from this administration. So some mixed signals there, but it's starting to look like the PHE is really serving other functions.
I think you've hit it exactly right. The public health emergency, and I think most health systems think if they're not in a COVID emergency, they are in an emergency one way or the other. So it's an easy way to keep some of that funding going to hospitals and health systems. Well, they're struggling so significantly. And at the same time, you do have, right, you have the political situation where the president's trying to say the pandemic's over, but at the same time, trying to very much make sure there's enough aid going to hospitals and health systems to make sure they keep the doors open. But you're absolutely right. I think you've hit that exactly right. So three big issues today: status of the public health emergency and COVID, the issue of sort of Trillion's view and how they look behind the numbers at U.S. News and Report and compare hospitals, and third, just the staggering financial challenges that hospitals are facing. Molly, just fascinating. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. You do a remarkable job. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.